evening to you, Liam.
Can you hear me, Ed? No,
yes, I can. Good evening to you.
Thank you.
Now, this evening, Liam, that sounds very tinny indeed. Liam, do you know what I might do?
Is that any better now?
Oh, that's much better. Yes. Okay. It was very, very tinny, actually. This evening, Liam, we're going to talk about how to handle the build-up to the interview, and I'm sure this is something that affects many, many people, particularly the final 48 hours or thereabouts.
Yes. What you often find is that people panic a little bit and they try to gather more and more and more information and put a huge pressure on themselves to remember all this information, and that becomes a real problem because there's only so much you can recall, there's only so much you will get across in an interview. And while you should be well prepared, you know, aspiring to know everything will lead you to just getting bogged down, you know, and also over-preparing is not the answer either. It's not unlike an exam, and we all crammed for exams, but, you know, interviews are different. In an exam, you're not performing there and then. You're getting your brain to operate, but you're writing. You can look out the window. You can twiddle your thumbs for a few minutes. In an interview, you need to be sharp. You need to be fresh. You need to be confident, and you need to be able to bring up what you want to bring up. Whereas if you keep taking on huge amounts of information leading into the interview, you're likely just to clog up your mind. So the first piece of advice I would give people going for interview is to observe a cut-off point. Generally, we say the night before is the cut-off point, and you know, maybe the general rule, even 24 hours before. So if it's 5 o'clock Tuesday evening, your interview is from 5 o'clock Monday evening, stop the studying, stop the cramming, stop the obsessing about it. And that way, you just kind of say, look, I've done all I can do now, and let's trust to what comes up on the day. Now, what you can do going close, you know, from then on, is just have one page with a number of bullet points on it, and I'm talking about no more than 30 or 40 words, which prompt you to remember certain things like communication skills or leading people or whatever the key issues of the job are. But coming closer to the interview, you need to really trust yourself that, you know, if I take on too much information, in fact, I'm now hitting a point of diminishing returns, and I'm not leaving myself fresh. So that's the first thing, is observe a cut-off point, and don't keep hammering it after that, you know?
But can I just stop you there? It's very easy to say, this is the cut-off point 24 hours prior to the interview. But for most of us, that's a very difficult thing to achieve, because no matter how strong-willed we may be, it may be just impossible to actually do that. So how do you actually do it?
Well, I suppose the next part I would say is that you can't just leave a vacuum then. There are certain things you should do after that point, okay? And I would say to people, try to focus on this. And the fact that it's hard to do, you know, that's still not a good enough reason not to do it. You know what I mean? It's in terms of going to the interview, you really need to keep yourself fresh, keep yourself sharp. On the day, as I said, you can have that one page you're looking at, but not taking on more and more information. Secondly, on the day, I would recommend exercise. If people do yoga, swimming, biking, whatever they do to clear their heads, that's a hugely important thing. You need to go into the interview feeling fresh, not groggy, weighed down, mind clouded, that kind of thing. So cycling, exercise, yoga, whatever you do without putting yourself in too much peril will stimulate you, make you feel fresher, make you feel better about yourself. You know, exercise does that anyway. The second thing, you have other things to do then as well, obviously, in terms of getting there on time. One thing I notice with people is that we live in a very deadline-driven world. So what people say is, my interview's at 5 o'clock on Tuesday evening. I plan to get there for 4:30, and that'll be fine. And generally, it will be fine. But what happens if something goes wrong in terms of traffic or your car or whatever? And what I would say to people is create another deadline of 3:30 to be in the coffee shop across the road. Okay, so you have that deadline, you set yourself that deadline. If something goes wrong, then you still have time to eat into it, or to absorb it. But you don't, and people do this. You'd be surprised how many people end up in a bit of a panic on the day because they didn't leave loads of time. They left enough time, but not loads of time. So that's something else you need to be doing on the day as well, is getting yourself there on time, being really relaxed. If you want to take out that piece of paper I mentioned a moment ago in the coffee shop across the road, you're still keeping yourself tuned into the interview, but you're not taking on huge amounts of information.
And I presume that if you're in alternative employment, then you take a day's leave for the interview.
Absolutely. That's part of getting yourself tuned as well. don't be having other things going on as best you can. And you know, this is an ideal situation. I understand that real life does intrude, but you'd be surprised the amount of people who work a half day, perhaps have to come home and shower and all that kind of stuff, and next thing they're running against the clock as well. All of this is about going into the interview relaxed, composed, confident, that you know that you're tuned into it. There's a whole, we lead busy lives, and there's a whole sort of retuning needed when you go to the interview. You need to really feel like you're in that room talking to these people, not that you've arrived in a ball of smoke a little bit earlier on. Because, you know, if you don't feel relaxed, an interview is a tough place. It's tougher than an exam in many ways, because, as I said earlier on, in an exam, you can take a break. You can tune out for a few minutes. You can do whatever you do to get your head right. In an interview, you're being bombarded from the word go. So you need to have your wits about you. That's a hugely important thing. Another thing people need to do, and again, this is a mistake people make. In fact, I made it myself once, is put the suit on. Get it checked out beforehand. Don't leave it until the day. We were all familiar with going to the dress dance only to discover that the monkey suit, well, we're not all familiar, but some of us of the more traditional build are, that the monkey suit no longer fits properly or that the top button doesn't close. You know, and you kick yourself for saying, I meant to check that 3 days ago. Get all that stuff done. Get all that stuff put away. You know, if you're wearing new shoes, break them in. You need nothing to be an impediment on the day of the interview itself. You know, you really need to be focused on, I'm going there, I'm going to turn up at the right time and do a good job. And I'm a checklist kind of person. It's sad enough at times, but having a checklist of the 5 or 6 things you need to do. I know people who've left the presentation at home going to the interview, you know, so...
Gee, that's a...
That left inside the door and walked out the door without...
Bit of a conundrum, surely.
It is, and you know, almost like... almost as bad as it happening and upsetting you, you know, not being there for the interview for you, it's how it throws you when you arrive at the interview and realise, oh God, it sends a shiver down your spine. And there often are workarounds, you know, it may well be something somebody can email to you, and if you have enough time you may do that, but it completely throws you at a time when you need as little as possible to throw you. So have the checklist left in the dash of the car as well as in the house. Don't, you know, little things like that, so that you're not just on the day panicking over something. And people take these things for granted, but time runs out very quickly if something goes wrong.
You know? And I suppose if you arrive at an interview without your portfolio or without your laptop, the interview board probably aren't going to look on it too kindly either.
No, and you know, it's an upset for somebody. Somebody somewhere has got to try and do something for you in terms of the receptionist or whoever it is. It's just, you know, little things like that don't help you. They may not cost you in the end, you may be able to overcome it, but you're better off having no surprises and, you know, rolling up there totally composed, knowing what you're hoping to address, if you have a presentation, having that in place, having all that kind of stuff ready. People get thrown by little things. You know, sport is a very good parallel for a lot of what goes on in interviews, and by that I mean, I think I've made the point before here that John McDonald, the great athletics coach from Cross Molina, who coaches in Arkansas University, I heard him talk one night in Brafey House at a sports conference, and he said the biggest issue he had with athletes was concentration. That he talked about an athlete, and I may have said this here before, who was winning a race, an All-American kind of race, and who lost the race, and he couldn't understand. This guy was cruising the race, it was a track race, couldn't understand why he lost it. And afterwards, the athlete told him he was bemused by why this track had less lanes than a standard track. Something about it.
So his mind absolutely wandered.
His mind wandered and he lost the race. And I've heard other ones as well, closer to home in terms of sport to that. So concentration, knowing what you're trying to do, being really focused. And if you're thrown by arriving late or not having your presentation with you or the shirt not closing properly, these are all things that will throw you and take away your concentration. And you need to minimize the amount of those on the day as well. And also, if you're concentrated and if you're organised and composed, you'll enjoy the whole experience much more because you'll feel much more confident that you can deal with what comes at you. You know, you won't be sort of operating just off on your wits, kind of, that, you know, you're confident, you're composed, you're relaxed. So anything that could throw you on the day, you need to minimise the possibility of that.
Any other tips?
The one I would keep emphasising is let go of information close to the time. That's the main one. I can tell horror stories of people arriving with a bundle of papers under their arm and trying to read it and read it and read it. It just won't work like that. The other thing I would say is, before you go into the interview, accept it's not going to go absolutely perfectly. Don't put a pressure on yourself that if I do poorly in the third question, it's all gone here. Give yourself a break. The best people in the world doing interviews make mistakes. The best people in the world communicating stumble and stutter here and there. So remove your expectations and give yourself a break. And I suppose finally going in the door, what I would say to people is, it's not the end of the world if you don't get it. Don't put that kind of pressure on yourself. You've got to go in there saying, yes, I'd love to get it, but I'm not going to be debilitated by putting huge pressure on myself to communicate better, or I must get this job. Remember, you don't decide who gets the job. I heard a great phrase last week, the fish decides the bait. They decide who gets the job. You just go in and give your best shot for it. And, trust that that's what you're doing. And if you have a bad moment during the interview, accept that every other candidate will have the exact same thing. The person who's cranky with you is probably cranky with everybody else. The person who looks like they're falling asleep in your interview is probably the same with everybody else. So give yourself a break. Don't beat yourself up going in there and have a rattle.
Interesting text in. You've been discussing with Liam the 48 hours prior to the interview. What about the 48 hours after the interview? Are postmortems necessary?
Yes, I think you must learn from it. With our clients, we send them a form that we ask them to assess the interview from their own perspective. Things like, did I enter the room well? Did I shake hands warmly? Did I engage properly with the interview panel? Did I communicate what I really wanted to communicate in terms of the key issues for the job? Did I show enthusiasm? There's a whole checklist of questions that I would recommend people to do afterwards. And also, mark yourself out of 10 on how you got across. Let's say there's 6 key things you wanted to get across. Mark yourself out of 10 on how well you got those across. And the sooner you do that after the interview, the better. You can start telling yourself lies as time goes on. You can start, you can do it. I would recommend doing it straight after the interview in the same coffee shop you're in beforehand, and maybe 2 days later as well, because you can be very hard initially on yourself, and maybe over a period of time, over a few days, you might give yourself more of a break. But you do need to learn, because the next time you go to interview, you need to know what you didn't do well the last time, what you did do well the last time. And it's not just enough to decide that because I got the job, I did a great interview, just as it's not enough to decide that because I didn't get the job, I did a really bad interview. There are lots of reasons that impact who gets the job. You need to assess your interview independent of that. So there's a lot more factors. There's who else was in for it, standard of competition, did nepotism play a part, did you just not have the experience? So you need to, assess your interview performance on its own merits, because that's where you learn. Interviews are the vehicle you must learn how to drive and learn from it every time. So that's a hugely important part.
And just finally, Liam, one other text. Basically, should you bring someone with you who's there in the coffee shop when you come out of the interview?
I was asked that question on a workshop I was running last week, and my answer would be yes. If people's instinct is to bring somebody, yes, they would. It's something I would have done going to interviews myself. If that's, if you think you'd benefit from it, absolutely do. Somebody can steady your nerves. Somebody can steady your nerves beforehand. Somebody can steady your nerves afterwards. Interviews, they're a bit like a 100 miles an hour kind of car crash kind of thing. So much happens so quickly that you need to sort of slow it down afterwards and tease it through. So if
the answer is yes.
Somebody would benefit, somebody who would be the right person, they need to be very selfless, because you'd be quite selfish at that time.
Very good. We have to leave it there, Liam. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and we'll talk to you again next Monday evening in or about the same time.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.